Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and the salubrious all wrapped up into one tasty treat? Well, I know that you are. And I know you know. That means it's time once again for Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike, brought to you by the good folks at Real Salt. Hey, if you love being in the kitchen, you're as passionate about real authentic flavors, tastes, and textures as I am, then you got to be using good seasoning. So head on over to realsalt.com, put Dr. Mike in there, take 15% off. They're already great prices on a fabulous product. It's real sea salt. Comes from an ancient ocean, so no modern contamination. You can't get better than this product. We can't get better than my guest today. You know him, you love him. It's time once again for culinary CPR with Chef Luca. He's executive chef and owner of Luca's Mediterranean Cafe, the market at Luca's, located in Keene, New Hampshire. He goes around the country helping folks, very active in his own community. I want to add that too, because I don't think the folks up there appreciate him enough. And of course, you've seen him dominating on Food Network, winning Guy's Grocery Games. He's probably going to have his very own channel soon. So I just want to get to the fat of it right now, because today we're doing something I absolutely love. Chef, porchetta. Tell me about it.
It's one of my favorite things, and I'm gonna call it the way I call it. It's porchetta, my friend. Porchetta.
And here's why
I do it. I'm gonna do my Italian lesson for everybody. You ready for this?
Okay. Okay. Perfect.
Good thing to do, right? So porchetta. P-O-R-C-H-E-T-T-A. That C-H is really important. Most of us say bruschetta wrong. It's actually bruschetta. So anytime you see a C-H in the Italian language, pronounce it like a K, because there is no K in the Italian language. So C-H replaces the K. So, for instance, that bottle of wine that comes from Tuscany, Chianti, it's
Chianti.
C-H, right? And Pinocchio.
Right.
And Orecchiette. It's all that CH, and that will change everybody's pronunciation about every Italian word. Once you see CH, say K, and you're golden. How's that? Okay, I'm dropping the mic.
That's brilliant.
I'm leaving now. I'm done for the day.
I'm pretty much done. I mean, anytime you can make me appear smarter, you have accomplished the nigh impossible. So I am delighted now. Here we go
to learn more about
porchetta.
Yeah, but guess what? That's all I got, man. There's not much more.
No. You got the whole pig here. No, you got the whole pig here. So tell us about this, because, you know, some people, I know it's hard to believe, but some people don't even know what this is. And, you know, to me, if you ever have the chance to go to Italy, you can get it. I mean, it's an incredible, you know, street food kind of thing.
It's when you think of the essence of a slow roasted pork roast. Porchetta is it. It's really about, it's as big in Italy as any other dish. It's as celebrated as any other dish. Using it as an entree, using it in sandwiches. I mean, you make it that night and you serve it as an entree. There's so much. When you said, let's get to the fat of it, I mean, we're talking about this amazing pork belly surrounding the pork loin. And then when you break down a full pig and you're breaking down a pig, or you get it from your vendor, or if you want to make a porchetta and you have to buy in different pieces, here's a couple of things to look at. When you're asking someone to break down a pig for you, what you do is there's the pork loin, which all of us know really well. There's pork loin, pork tenderloin. Pork loin you could get from any store. There's a pork loin, but when it's attached, it's actually attached to the pork belly, which kind of rounds out the outside. So if you get that all in one piece, basically you can now wrap with the skin and everything around your porchetta, we'll get to that, or around your pork loin, we could get to that. Or what some people can do is you could buy pork belly separate, a pork loin separate, butterfly everything, and then put it all back together in one roulade. So there's a lot of different ways you can play with porchetta. You get the skin on, you could do skin off, and then you just have a fat top. But the skin on will give you this crispy, crunchy, you know, think of cracklings, but to the nth degree with all the herbs and everything. So you have a lot of things. I mean, it's originated in central Italy, right outside Rome. That's probably where it's been the most known, where it started. And it's really iconic in Lazio, along with Pecorino Romano. So that's what those were the first people that actually brought it to the United States. You basically, when I the small town that my dad's from, called San Lorenzo in Italy, in central Umbria, we actually they would take a porchetta and make it out of the whole pig. It would be a lot larger and it would be amazing. But the, when you think of the porchetta you could do at home is taking the pork loin, the belly with the skin on or off, butterflying it open, filling it, rolling it back up, and then roasting it. And that's the recipe based on a Mario Batali recipe that we're going to give out today and talk a little bit more. But what's great is the versatility of this meat. It's, like I said, a sandwich meat. It could be an entree. We just served it here as a restaurant for an entree, and we wanted to do sandwich meat out of it the next day, but we didn't. It all disappeared that night, so that's all we had. So, but it's an incredible, incredible dish. And if you haven't tried it, try it. You know where what's big for porchetta is, you know, people talk about the Philly cheesesteak about being the sandwich of Philly. But actually, the porchetta with broccoli rabe is and provolone yep. is one of the staple Philadelphia Italian American sandwiches that you would absolutely if you're in Philadelphia, you get a cheesesteak, but you find a place that's doing a roast pork or a porchetta, and then you'll be super happy you were there.
Yeah, and you know, in the southern U.S., there's a similar thing, right? They do barbecue, they do whole hog barbecue. So we're doing it's that same, you know, delicious tenderness, the slow roasting of the meat, you know, going, you know, for hours or all day. What's your favorite way, or I guess for folks, the easiest way, because folks aren't going to be able to cook, you know, a whole hog, most folks, hog at home. So right. do you try to order a specialty cut from the butcher, or just say, hey, you know, I'm going to get a pork loin and the pork belly, and then which are you butterflying, and how do you put that all together?
Right.
And I just want to caution the folks. We're talking about pork loin, which is different than the pork tenderloin.
Right.
So don't get those confused, because the pork tenderloin is a very lean cut, and while it's delicious, we want the pork loin. So that's a little different cut.
Well, and here's the thing: it's because not everyone could do this at home. You have to kind of do your own version of it. And although pork belly is going to be more accessible now in stores and specialty shops, it still is something that people look at and go, ooh, what do I do with this? So basically, you could do this straight with eat it. you could do this straight with a boneless pork loin. And the recipe I'm giving you today will get people started on that kind of process. And it has, instead of bringing the fatty and the wonderful fat on the outside like you do for with a pork belly, we're going to bring it on the inside by taking pork shoulder, chopped, and bringing it inside to the porchetta. So when you cut through it, it's all about, a porchetta is all about fat. The loin is nice and lean, that's great, but what you need is that fat. You need that, in this case, we're putting the fat on the inside, but what I would love to do is butterfly, and I'm going to give you a rough conversation about doing a porchetta, butterfly a loin open all the way, and add in seasonings like fennel seed, black pepper, rosemary. You want thinly sliced garlic cloves. You want even a bulb of fennel that's thinly sliced, because you could keep the leaves and use those as well. An onion, extra virgin olive oil. This is all stuff that you would season the inside with. So you have the garlic and you have the herbs. You have all that kind of stuff. And then you would roll that up and then take a pork belly, which would be about the same as it's rolled, would cover the circumference of the pork loin you just rolled. Roll that around, butcher twine the belly, which was also seasoned with the same flavors, on the inside around the pork loin that you rolled, and then twine it all up so it looks like one big piece. And when it cooks, it's just going to mold together. It's going to be absolutely incredible. And then season the top of that, again, with those herbs. What you could even do is take your fennel seeds and your fresh rosemary, and you can take whatever other herbs you want to do. You make this beautiful herb pesto out of it, rub the top of it, let it sit with some of that real salt that you love to use, you know, get that in there, let it sit overnight like that, and then roast that off. Oh my God, you're talking about an amazing piece of meat. So, I mean, that's the start of our porchetta, and it could go different ways. The recipe I'm going to give you, again, a variation of Mario Batali's, is actually using chopped pork shoulder or ground pork into the center of this, which then will mimic the fattiness you get from the outside. So you won't get as crispy an outside or fatty outside, but you still get that kind of soft texture on the inside that you want from the porchetta.
And I want to jump in here and just tell folks not to freak out, because we're talking about fat and we're talking about pork fat. And, you know, for so long, you've heard, oh, my gosh, you know, don't eat fat. You know, we're basically talking about lard. Exactly talking about lard. And what we're finding out is, and folks, you can go to the newsletter where we go over your pork paillard recipe. And I talk a little bit in the analysis section of that newsletter. And head over to cardiochef.com if you're listening and you're not subscribed to the newsletter, because you're going to get these recipes and all sorts of information. But what we're finding out is, one, and folks may have read this, it was in the news not too long ago, that, hey, it's not the fat, not even the saturated fat, that is the issue. If you want to know all the reasons why, go read The Fallacy of the Calorie, all discussed in there. But when we get a heritage breed, you know, a free-range pastured happy animal, what we find is that the fats that are in there are actually high in the omega-3s, the polyunsaturated types of fats that are so good for us, and so essential for us. So yeah, we're telling you about lard, and hey, you know, listen to the doctor here, we're giving you a prescription that this stuff we're finding out is essential for our health. So it's all about the quality of the pork you choose. And I think you'd agree, Chef, from a culinary perspective, you know, that's a type of pork for a porchetta that just has the best flavor.
If you can, and that's it. I mean, when we broke down the pig here at the restaurant, one of the first things I noticed, and you notice every time you break down an animal, or of this kind, is how much fat is in the animal. And you'll have people that look at it and go, whoa, that's crazy. Whether it's the marbling throughout even the pork loins, or it's the fat, that's the huge amount of fat that's along where the pork belly is and what have you. You're looking at that as incredible, incredible flavor. It's raised correctly. You know where it's coming from. If you did a side-by-side, and we've talked about that, and we've talked about it on a show we just did, you did a side-by-side comparison against commodity-raised pork and pork that's raised correctly on good feed, on just on the grass, and the stuff that's around it, and raised well, you're going to see an amazing more amount of fat on the pork that's raised at a farm and done well. And it's so good for you, whether you're using it for cooking afterwards. Heck, I'd bathe in this stuff if I could. I mean, no one's going to let me, But I'm telling you, we saved the pork fat. We reduced it down. We confit pork belly in that. We made a soup out of the confit pork belly that we were able to use later. Use it for cooking anytime you're going to sear off your pork. You use a little bit of the pork fat. It's just great. I mean, how could you not use it? It's just all the way around. It's utilizing everything about an animal that was meant to be utilized.
And that's you hit on actually a key health point that folks are learning, you know, as we study kind of cultures at large and observational analysis, that one of the keys to these groups that, you know, live a long time, but more importantly, live, you know, very healthful lives, is that they utilize the whole animal. So we're talking about, you know, it's not just pork bellies, but it is, you know, it is pork bellies and the fat, but it's the organs, it's those lesser cuts with the connective tissue in there, and, you know, consuming things. And one of the things I noticed, and I'm be interested, because you guys did the same thing, you broke down, you know, a heritage type breed animal. Mm-hmm. And I was working with the butcher, basically learning some butchery skills, and he was teaching me. But when I was working with the animal, I noticed that the fat, when I would work with a piece or I was cutting and I pushed, just my body heat would start to melt it. you know, almost like working with duck fat. And what that tells me is that there's a much higher percentage of the polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats in that animal. And you don't need a medical degree. You don't need a chemical analysis. All you have to do is simply work with it. Did you find that when you guys were working with yours?
It almost felt like it was butter. versus fat.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that the best way to describe it? I think
that is absolutely.
And actually, since we used it like that, it kind of worked itself out very well. I mean, it just you felt the texture difference, and then the meat held up better too. It's just it's a whole different thing. And we love
it's a whole different
doing,
animal.
Yeah, we love doing the side by side comparison because I had regular pork loin in, and we just looked at the two of them, and the structure, the marbling, the amount of a flavor you know was going to come out of the other animal. And when you put the two together, it's just a whole, it's night and day. It really is. Like I say, it's very similar to putting fresh fish shrimp out, or even, you know, versus the shrimp that you could get from, let's say, China or in Asia. You put the two shrimp together, you look at them, and they don't even look like the same animal sometimes.
I think that's the point. You just nailed it, Chef. They're not the same. You know, they may be the same species, but they have a different, and you and I have talked about this, they have a different terroir. You know, one's loaded with stuff that they don't want. It's a stressed animal. So the whole process by which it got to your plate is, you know, completely foreign to something that's allowed to progress naturally, kind of at its own rate, you know, a much more stress-free type of environment. All that is reflected in the flavor. And the thing that I think I so love about your approach, which is really, as we see, if you get my new book, Ancient Eats, and we talk about this chapter concerns the ancient Greeks, kind of their whole approach to food is, you know, it's natural. You let the flavor speak for themselves. And what we're finding out is, God, Chef, you're like the best preventive type of doctor there is, because you're feeding us great tasting food. We want to eat it. And you're giving us stuff that's great for us. And, you know, you got an honorary MD after your name.
Whoa, that's awesome. Tell my wife
Dr. Luca.
I would love to hear her think that's okay. I appreciate it, man. But we're, you know what? We should be calling all of our grandparents and our great grandparents doctors too, because they're the ones that have been doing this for generations upon generations. It was our generation that started changing things, and
wisdom of the ancestors.
Back. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we really need to get back to this, and I'm working with people now that are even pushing me further than I ever have. And it's really cool. It's beautiful to see. We just had a conversation, my chef Vaughn and I, about we're doing a dinner this weekend, and he's doing a hay roasted pork loin. Since we're talking pork loin or porchetta, we just acquired some local hay, and he's going to roast it on top of the pork loin while he's doing that.
Oh, fabulous!
And one of my questions was, you know, because this was new to me, I said, so what? What does it entail? What does that impart? He says it brings it. It's full circle eating. This is what the animal was eating at a certain point, and it's coming back at you. And I'm sitting there going, "Wow, this is incredible." When you think about what we're doing and what's going on, it's like if you could use. And then the smokiness, you kind of smoke it from the outside. The hay kind of starts crisping up and then starts breaking down and gives a smoky flavor to the roast pork or the pork loin. And you don't think about these things. And then when someone brings it up to you, you're going, yeah, I get it now. I see where that worked. And it wasn't a recipe that was some fancy French 3-star Michelin chef that came up with. It's someone's grandmother's, great-grandmother's recipe that they were doing all the time. That's what we get back to. That's when you see the major difference you can make in people's lives with what they eat.
Well, it's both figuratively and literally, you know, getting back to the roots of the story. And as you said, you know, several hundred years ago, well, what do you have left over there? Well, we've got a little bit of this hay left, and it's a way to add some flavor to, you know, maybe not the greatest cut of pork, you know, that you had, but you're going to add these subtle flavors. You had to be creative. You had to use what you had on hand. And, you know, I just think sometimes, you know, we've gotten so far away, or we're concerned with, you know, only part of the tree. You know, we're looking at this little leaf on this one tree, and we're ignoring the whole forest. So, you know, I think that broad perspective is critically important, not just for our food, but for our health, and then understanding this, you know, interplay, because, you know, again, one of the things that we're finding, something that, that I write a lot about is, as you know, is this, you know, chronic continuous inflammation related to the gut microbiome. Well, we've got to remember that these bacteria over hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of years, have co-evolved to co-metabolize food with us. And when we're feeding them polysorbate 80, you know, and some other, you know, types of chemicals, then we're really poisoning the garden because they haven't adapted to this. And actually what fills that void is the stuff that, that seems to cause all these diseases. But what you're bringing to the party is, you know, nobody wants to take medicine. This is just great taste in food, plain and simple.
Right. I think what, didn't you just do a thing about, do we replace good food with a pill here and there? And then what are we getting from that? You know, you're the guy who's telling me that all the time. And I've always thought, you know, there was a past, my past said, oh, if I take this, I won't have to worry about what I eat. Well, why don't I just eat well, and then exactly. I don't have to worry about what I take. And it was so much better, you know. And that's the end all be all, right? I mean, we could hear Absolutely. About it, and we could preach to people till we're blue in the face. But what about eating really amazing stuff and experiencing something new? Now, you just had an experience. You have a conversation about it, too, which is something that got totally lost when it comes to food. I mean, the fact that we're having this conversation means it was important to us at some point in our life. But that's what we lose all of. It was like, oh, let's just eat these pills or drink this drink or this shake, and I'm going to be healthy. Well, why don't you just eat the best stuff that you could find and then go, wow, look what I got to eat today. And it's not that hard, not that expensive, and I bet you it's going to be cheaper than anything, any of these additives people are taking right now. And why not do it?
Hey, Chef, I tell you, it's a hell of a lot cheaper than a coronary artery bypass surgery.
Yeah.
So,
no matter what insurance you have, it's going to be cheaper.
Man. Right, right. Yeah, you want to price that. And you know, you bring up a great point, because you want to talk about, at least for me, and I'm sure for you too, stress reduction. Hey, you want to get rid of stress in your life? You know, relax, maybe enjoy a glass of wine and some great company with some great food like this. You're powering your body with nutrition. You're having a great food experience. Like we were talking about, it's like the stress will melt away like butter, you know, and you don't need, you know, antidepressants and, you know, and all these other, you know, happy pills, which always crack me up because you hear on the television, the side effect is it may make you want to kill yourself. I was like, well, that doesn't sound like a very good happy pill to me.
You know what?
You know, I'm
100% sure that if someone had our porchetta at the restaurant, that would never be a side effect. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely not.
It would totally be like, okay, I want to live another day no matter what, so because I could try this again. That's the thing about life. Good food will make everything better, period.
And so you walked us through fixing it up. We've put it in the oven. We let it slow roast all day. When is it done, and how do you like to serve it, or what do you serve it with at the restaurant?
So we do the whole butterflying, you know, season, get it. What you want to do first, you want to cook in this, in the recipe I'm going to give them. You do that onion, fennel, saute that a little bit too, and then add the ground pork, and then you stuff it on the inside, and then it's really incredible once you see the recipe. And then basically you roll it like a jelly roll, tie it with the butcher's twine, and 75, roast in an oven, 75 minutes, 425 degrees, till you get an inside temperature about 140 degrees, and let it rest for about 10 minutes. It's done. It's not a lot. We're talking about if you're using just the loin and getting a good loin, you're at 75 minutes. What I would do is slow do it if I'm doing the pork belly on the outside, which, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you the recipe with the pork belly on the outside. It's even better. Send them both. We'll have two recipes. If Sure. you do the pork belly on the outside, slow cook that first, 75 to 2 hours, really on like 350, and then crank it up to about 450. And we get a nice crisp on the outside. Oh, my gosh. Dude, we're talking about heaven in your mouth when it's falling. I got to give you both recipes now. Now that I mention it, I'm gonna I'm like, how many recipes can I send you for one show?
So. And we'll take as many as you got, because your recipes are absolutely fantastic. And so what do you like to serve it with besides a? And I'm gonna say it the proper way, Chianti.
Oh, Chianti with porchetta, perfect. Polenta is one of my favorite things. It's great. The end-all, be-all. Nice fine-grain polenta. Do a 5-to-1 ratio of water, cream, butter, that water, cream, butter mixture kind of mixture to the polenta. Get it to a light simmer. Pour your polenta in lightly. Salt, pepper. You can use chicken stock as part of your water ratio or your liquid ratio. And you make this beautiful creamy polenta. Serve the porchetta over the top. If you have this nice crispy skin, you'll have a little bit of crunch. If not, you're going to get this fattiness, creaminess. Really nice combination. Nice glass of red wine, whether it's a Chianti or a Super Tuscan or a Sagrantino from Umbria. One of those, you'll find a great combination of flavors there. And then as a sandwich, sliced porchetta with the herbs on it, a little roasted garlic aioli, maybe some fresh greens and pickled onions. That's all you need. And you will have one of the most beautiful pork sandwiches the next day on an onion bread. Do an onion bread. I love onion bread.
Oh, absolutely love it. Chef, thanks so much for the,
thanks,
and especially thanks for the Italian lesson. So we learned about porchetta. To all our friends out there, hey, why don't you head over to cardiochef.com. Make sure you get the newsletter so you're getting these great recipes, all sorts of other important information in there. You'll get it each week. Sign up. Make sure you sign up. That's cardiochef.com. And until we meet again, may the only pain in your life be champagne.